Peter chapter 5. Reading down the first three verses. Therefore, elders, who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder, the witness of the sufferings of Christ, who also partake of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Serve as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Remember down to the verse that I have been assigned. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And I want us to keep that idea of being examples all the way through, working together, not loving them over the flock. This I want all the way through, but I'm going to take an unreasonable tack with this lesson. Something I had thought about for a time anyway, after I'd been assigned it, wondering what I could use for an example. So you can find an example a little bit unusual, but I think over through, you'll see what I'm going to say when I'm talking about eldership working together. But in that process, leading the flock, and not being lords, but being a part of it. You all missed the talk I just heard. It was beautiful, but this is too bad you couldn't have had both of them together. But look at first, had not known the Roman flock, that word in the original language really breaks down into two words. The first one means down against. In other words, it's something that's patted down and then just firmly against. The word is katan, if you pronounce it that way. That means that this is solid, it's put down, it's packed. But it's in a negative way of being lords. Now think about that. Being lords, how? Packed down the heart and smacked up against the congregation. That's not what you want to be. This is not at all what you want to be. So what does it come down to when you read all the dictionary and things like this? It says to you that if you are in the Lord, you're bringing someone under your own power. Is that what the Lord wants in ownership? Are you the power? You're not the power. He is. And so you're not to bring anyone under your power. You're not to subjugate anyone to you. You're part of the congregation. You have to become a master over them. And I'm not using the phrase as it does sometimes in scripture where it means a teacher. It's literally mean a master, a strong person. Again, the one over is going to overcome or subdue. How many elderships of people mean it that way? When they subdue people, put them under their belts, this idea of packing it down and smacking it up against them. This is not what you are to do. We read this one scripture of Peter and Kittle. To exercise dominion against someone to one's own advantage. Elders are not to exercise their power for themselves and benefit against those entrusted to them. I like that part, entrusted to them. Exactly what they are. Now, if they are God's children, and they are, should we take that approach where we want to bring them under our power, that we want to put them under our thumb? No. I mean, the broad conclusion at the end that really an elder only have two responsibilities. That's right. And one of them have them. And then take us away with anything. And that's somewhat got you. And it's total. You can talk back at me. That's fine. But really, isn't that the whole object of an eldership? Number one, you get to have it. Number two, you bring everybody up to the table. Really, that's what it all boils down to. The whole way we are to be is that we're continuing one thing to be the example thing to the flock. How? First of all, in their attitudes. Now this is how the scripture says you are to be as opposed to be these lords over people. You're to be this example. Well, first of all, I say you're to be an example in attitude. in your personal life, should you be a good example to your own personal family? Should you be an example to that guy you look at in the mirror every morning? Can you look at yourself honestly and say, I'm doing what's right. I'm doing what God wants me to do. Or, I'm doing my best and I'm going to do better today and therefore. You need to be an example to yourself. Look at you down here. Are you satisfied with what you did yesterday? The day before? The day before? Be an example to yourself, to your job. If you're out of the work day world. How about in your recreation?
Amongst people in the foreign lands doing good things
officer and captain. Well, what does this say about maturity? It not only mentions, says something about their maturity, but it means that they're all about to do, to know what to do, but more importantly, what? To know what not to do. Can I buy that from the other sheet? I certainly can. You need to know that book so well. You know what you can do, yes, but you also know what we can't do. There are things we can't do. We are not a social organization like the Columbus or something like that. That's not our business. We're not involved in that. And you need to know their jobs so well. Number 20. Elders? Yes. Army? Experience? Well, of course, that went along with the previous one. But they are constantly trained and they are no novices. It's strange today that they didn't have this qualification back when I was in, but they even have to have an IQ of 120. 120, just to get in. But what does this say about you and your knowledge of the scriptures? If there was an IQ test out that was just on the scriptures, would you get to 120? What is an IQ test for you? It's a category test by the time you get done with it. Do you know the word? Do you know what it means? Do you know what the book says? When they're airborne, all that means is that they're lateral. They can come out of problem from any direction. You know what you're doing? How does that compare? You should be able to come out of problem from any direction. If we've got 2, 3, 4 elders, there should be enough wisdom within that group, for the group that you're in, that you're able to come out of any problem to the other case. Absolutely. Language. You should be able to talk the language of people. In the special forces, you have to speak 2 languages. You know Nebraska. You know speak Chinese? You know speak Japanese? Thank you. We're about that. You have to be able to speak 2 languages. We have to speak 2, 3, and 4. But the point is, are you able to understand what a person is talking about when he's talking about his job? Do you know him well enough to know what he's talking about? Yes, he uses English, but English words change with jobs. The meaning of the words change. Do you understand what he is talking about in the way, or whatever? Do you understand their life? What's going on? Racial, the more diverse, the better. How about that in our elderships? If we've got a diverse congregation, what should our eldership reflect? The very same thing, identical. If you are flexible, always, but always within a standard. Even the special forces have to operate within standards. And so does the eldership. What's our standard? Right there, in that book. That's our standard. Every man is a leader. Every man within the group, period. In fact, in certain situations, right, but essentially right means nothing. If you're the person, and you're going on the job, and you're the one that has the knowledge about this job, you're in charge. Even though you may have a captain over here, and a lieutenant, and even a sergeant, if you've got the know-how, that's your job. And the rest of them follow. They have to be able to, how about membership? Should we all be able to lead? Some situations are better than others. You might want to have that better qualification, better than you at that time, can you? Absolutely. They deal with all kinds of backgrounds. Obviously, that's their purpose. How about membership? Should you be able to deal with all the backgrounds out here in this congregation? Yes, indeed. They are entrepreneurs in their spirit. In other words, every one of them could be a good businessman. In fact, I don't know of any person speaking special forces that hasn't had offers from the business world at big salaries. Hardly ever did they ever recruit from me. They just want to live with these kind of attributes. The business world does. Now, get down to the end of the recruit. different jobs. There are 12 men in a unit. So we can see if something happens, they have a split room, we've got two perfect sets. But anyway, everybody knows what is called as MOS, is military occupational specialty. And every man falls in one of these six categories. Some are trained just to be leaders. They're not required to have any other special qualifications except in leadership. They have to know something of everybody else's job, just as all the rest of them do. They have to be cross-trained. Isn't this wise for membership to help each other? Indeed. There's one thing to do. We need to talk to use every weapon possible against the enemy. And who's our enemy?
Satan.
Should we use every weapon the Lord has given us to fight him? Indeed. And what do we put to them, actually, in every unit? There are engineers. Well, their primary job in conflict is to tear down bridges and things like this, but at least I wonder what they're doing with the people they're working with. They're doing things. In their time, in the congregation, when something's happening in the congregation that needs to be torn down, built up? Yes, very much so. Medical specialists. These are first responders in all medical situations. Who should be first responders in the congregation of any problem? Who should be the first responder?
Emphasis on the should, but how often is it the case that the elders are the last ones to know of a problem?
That's right,
family.
That has two problems with it. Communication. Sometimes we're not getting communication from the people, sometimes we're not seeking that information. It's too common. We have to be very, very careful of that. Of all of this is probably the one I respect the most. These men really train for their job, and now by this, referring them to leadership is that you also train yourself. When you are asked to teach a book, you really dig into that book and know everything through it so that you can really teach it. Just by opening your Bible and setting it down on the podium and teaching, can you do it? You can do that. But these men start out by going through two medical schools, joining the military. After that, they're sent to a trauma center, either in New York City or, I think it's Tampa, Florida. And all they do is serve 1 year in the trauma room. After they're through that, they send them to medical school. Because in combat, what happens? The face is exposed. We have to be able to reconstruct the wound as much as possible. After that, they sit at the vet school, veterinaries. Because it's peacetime, they're out there working with agricultural people mostly. And so what would that background help build a rapport between people? Okay. I have to just say, in fellowship, you should have men coming from all kinds of walks of life. Shouldn't we not be able to combine all of this and do the same job that these medics would do? I think so. Now, communicators. To communicate, number one. Every communicator in the Special Forces can set up completely a communication system that will tie in all the satellites and can reach any place in the world. Every single one. That's complete communication. If I said those two words properly, communication and complete. Okay. Tie those two together. The last thing is operations and intelligence specialist. These are the guys that gather the information and then set up the programs and make them work. Uh-oh. Isn't that part of it? Now these men are totally cross-trained. You know, they don't all have the specialties like the medical man does, or the engineer, but they can all do parts of every job. They can all elders, including those that are trained governmentally. How does this fit with us in the eldership with the congregation? Very much so. We need to serve these people. We need to bring all of these attributes together to serve these people. All of them. And as I, like I said, this is an unusual approach, I realize. But when I stop and thought about it, and I keep up with these interviews, one of the things that I'm just kind of interested in, the more I study and the more I'm involved with these organizations, the more I can see how they fit in to the total picture of the operation of an army. And they don't have any lordship over any part of the army. They are there to serve that army. That applies here too, doesn't it? We're not here to lord over anybody. We're not here to subjugate them to ourselves at all. I put myself in the same category, having been a teacher and a preacher. I'm not an elder, but I can certainly fit myself into those same things everybody should be able to. But they have to be able to work, they have to be able to work what they call downrange. In other words, they're active, out, away from their pulse. As a group, working. They have to be able to do that. And incidentally, their downline work is horrible. The average, and this is sad, the average special forces man gets to probably 3 marriages in his life. It is so bad. We shouldn't let the eldership work do that to us. Those ladies have first call. They're congregations. That is hard to sort out. Some people will disagree with me on that, but if I don't have the support of that lady behind me, what are you going to do to the congregation? What are you going to do? Not much at all. So the downrange. Now, what's downrange for eldership? Well, if they're in the enemy's territory, what is the world? Who has dominance in the world? Satan does. Is that enemy territory? Are we in? Are we downrange? Are we working actively? Are we helping the main body do its job out here in the world? Are we doing that? They're always training. When they're not actively involved in something, we have a special program going on, evangelism or something else, and we don't have something special going on, are we still at home studying whatever we can, helping ourselves so that we can help the congregation? Are we improving ourselves? Are we learning constantly? Are we cross-trained? In the eldership, we have one man that's able to do something so much better than the others. What should he be doing with that information? Sharing it with the others. So that they can all do the work that you're supposed to do. But if I said to you, what's the job of an eldership?
Is to heaven and bring as many as you can.
To bring as many as you can. I think I'm supposed to be allowed to about 3, aren't I? My specialty was the last one, operations and intelligence, when I was in the military. And there was more than once when you come up to a sergeant and you just done it. And that's what we had to do. It was my job then to gather all the information, gather the records, gather everything in a set. And that was my particular function among that group. But again, I keep coming back in my mind, cream of the crop. That's what eldership could be. Am I putting that in your mind as to be egotistical? No. Should everybody in the congregation want to have all the qualities and the qualifications and eldership that they can have? Absolutely. And they're only going to have them when we are doing what? Building them up. Helping them along. Not subjugating them, but loving them. I don't apologize for taking this attack. But I thought, there's something I can talk about that I know about that I can see has to be in an eldership. All of these very same things. Questions?
Sure. Until I became an elder, I did not realize how often the congregation prays for the elders. But now I realize it and I appreciate it. And it makes a difference.
Right. And how much more is your prayer life going up for the congregation?
Yes, sir.
Right. See, it works, I mean, it works that way. Do you love our people? If you just want a job as an elder, what kind of love do you have for our people? How are you able to motivate them? You're never going to motivate people if you are a lord over them. You will get, you will be able to tell somebody to do something, if they got the right heart, it'll probably get done. But if you're a group leader, and you're able to work together, and you're able to lead this congregation, how much more can we get done for the Lord? Let me, in a couple minutes I have here, let's go back. If we were giving as we should, as a congregation, if we in the eldership would get that started, and we wouldn't do it, how many of us would say, how many would it take to support one man at their average? 10? Take 10 families, would they support one man at their average? Alright, we've got 10 family units. What if we've got 30 family units? How many do we need to support? Full-time at their average. Let's say you've got 100 family units. You've got 10 men that you can support. Those 10 men, in their support, is obviously taking all of the expenses of the building. All of those little things. What can we do? But where does the leadership have to come from? It has to come from the leadership. Every little. We can do a whole lot of work, brethren. If we get out there and motivate and do and we're leaders and we're not domineering people. I once had the instructor say, okay, now you will do likewise. That's in charge.
Yes. Can I ask a quick, where are you from?
You're from?
Oh, I'm from Ushers.
Okay. Let me just share something with you here. We have elders like you. You can sit on this. We just got a letter this last week from a congregation northeast of here that has split.
Mm-hmm.
And it just broke my heart when I read the letter because they said they even come to the point where half the members worshiped for an hour, and then as soon as they left the building, the other half came back into the building and worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
And the letter that we got was from three men who had set themselves up as trustees of the group that wanted us to respond to the other group, encouraging them, wanted us to write a letter to them, encouraging them to merge, to get back together. This was just out of the clear blue, this letter. We have no clue. Nothing was ever said at any point, at any time, by any elders in this congregation. I think that's probably why it happened the way it did. It's just unfortunate. It's a shame. But I was just thinking, just the fact that you have Christians that were worshiping in one building one time from 9 to 10, and then they all left, and then from 10 to 11, the others came in and worshiped. It's a shame.
What message are they sending to the recruiting panel?
That's the other thing. Someone came in and tried to fire the preacher, and since they did, they called the police. And they're seeking counsel from a lawyer who is part of one of the groups.
Oh,
it just broke my heart for these Christians. I'm just, you know, and I all I can do is pray for them. But I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.